One time I went down a slip and slide as a child, and there was a rock that, like, put a giant scratch all the way down my body.
Did it tear off your nipple?
It did not.
Okay.
I heard stories about a kid whose nipple was torn off, though,
by the
rock.
Legendary Nipple Rock Kid.
The Kid of Nipple Rock.
The Kid of Nipple Rock,
he shortened
course.
His name eventually to Kid Rock.
Oh, wow.
Kid
the
Nip
origin
Rock.
Story of Kid Nip Rock.
The origin story of Kid Rock is that he gets his nipple ripped off by a rock?
Yes.
What?
Welcome back to Zero Credits, the show where we talk about things. I'm Henry.
And I'm John.
And together we're Henry and John.
That's right. But not today.
Oh, today we're more than Henry and John.
Today we have an unprecedented special guest.
Special guest. And her name?
Her name is our friend Natalie.
Friend Natalie.
Introduce yourself. Say hey.
Hey.
That's the sound of her. That's what she goes like.
All right. So, Natalie, why don't you tell our viewers a little about yourself?
What do you want to know? I'm a girl. My name is Natalie. I'm your friend.
I think we just need one more bona fide, then we can vet you for the podcast.
Yeah, this is like a background checky thing.
Yeah, just one more and we're
good. How
much
do they know about you guys?
Not much.
Okay.
Almost everything.
I'll tell them what they know about you guys.
You'll tell them what they know about us?
I just don't want to say too much. And then...
Okay.
Like, they don't know where we live. They
okay,
don't know our
I'm
last...
Just, I wasn't planning on saying
yeah,
that.
They don't know our last names.
Well, Natalie is my last name. Our friend is my first name.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. You're a special guest, so we don't have any rules about your identity.
Okay, well...
Your friend Natalie.
You know, this has gone well.
Yeah.
And I think we should call it the... No, I'm kidding.
No, I think it's time to launch into our first segment.
Yes.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
I don't know, it's the name of the first segment.
Oh, okay.
That's just a segment we do on every episode.
Oh, okay, we need to bring you into the fold.
Yeah.
Every episode, we have a segment called What Are We Doing? Where we try desperately to understand what we're doing.
Yeah.
Today.
Pretty much. It's really just me asking what are we doing, and then John kind of stares at me, and I'm like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But today, Natalie.
You get to stare at him.
What are we doing?
Dumbfounded.
What are we doing? Henry.
What do you want to do, Natalie?
I don't know. What do you want to do, Henry?
I want to talk about what you want to talk about, Natalie.
Well, I want to talk about what you want to talk about, Henry.
John.
Yes?
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the kind of day we all had.
Oh, good.
Oh, I was supposed to come up with an actual topic?
Maybe.
I thought I was supposed to just mirror you the whole time.
Well, that could have been. That could have been.
Man, I'm doing so great as a special guest.
Look, there's
that's
no
really
wrong.
Most of it.
You're the first special guest. There's no wrong way to do this.
Okay.
You're actually setting the bar. Everyone else has to measure up to you.
Oh, well, prepare to lower it.
There's no bar. You're setting the bar.
Well, I'm lowering it.
Oh,
it's set low
all
to
right.
start
yeah.
out.
Okay.
Except if in Limbo, if you set it low, it's set pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, in Purgatory, though, if you set it low, it's kind of in the middle. That's a classic afterlife joke. So, Natalie, what kind of day did you have?
It was all right. I mainly waited for my car to be ready.
Ooh. What happened to your car?
It got hit by a hit-and-run driver.
Oh, no.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's even worse.
Two Wednesdays ago. And, just been waiting for it to be ready. And it was ready today. I got it. Got
Yay.
It back. And
Yay.
Then I picked up Henry.
What?
His car had to dive so my car could live.
Yeah.
Blood in, blood out.
Yeah.
Yeah. My car made the ultimate sacrifice today. Dying at the stoplight literally across the street from the apartment complex where I live.
made the ultimate sacrifice in dying without completing its job.
Yep.
Great.
And I had to push it off the street with the help of two nice men who work at the...
Nice.
It's the first time I looked at this business, and it's called...
Okay. I'm okay with this.
I don't think I've ever known the name of that place. And I used to live where you live, so...
Yeah.
I mean, not exactly where you live, but in the same place.
Yeah.
So, did you... Other than waiting for your car, did you happen to attend any kind of structured meetings?
Oh, such man.
Such as a class or some kind of Alcoholics Anonymous meeting?
It's like you knew.
Did I?
Well, except for alcohol, it's philosophy.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah. Mm, philosophy?
Yep.
Philosophy.
It's just 101, but I mostly have to take it to graduate, so...
So it's,
I put it off. And...
It's the most important philosophy class you've ever taken.
I mean, it's... Maybe. Yeah, it's the better one.
I mean, I could argue that the introductory philosophy class is kind of the most important.
That's where I learned how to agree with my professor to get an A.
The other one that I took was with you, Henry, which was Philosophy of Sci-Fi.
Which was a really fun class.
It was fun.
No, it wasn't fun? You didn't like it?
I thought it was okay. I thought the teacher was, I don't know, she was interesting.
Yeah.
I felt like maybe if it was a different person, maybe I would have liked it more.
That was the second time I had that particular teacher. So she's the one who taught me to agree with the professor to get an A.
Oh,
That's just a bad philosophy class.
I mean, those are the two I've had, so I wouldn't know a good one.
The good ones are, you know, they're good. They're open form. You can have your own opinions.
I just remembered a random factoid from my first philosophy class.
Oh, cool.
It was something like, think of a hypothetical situation, like the Saints win the Super Bowl.
Right.
A purely hypothetical
And we all laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hadn't yet. They won that year. My philosophy class made it happen, maybe.
What?
I don't know.
I remember going to the parade, the post-Saints winning the Super Bowl parade in New Orleans.
You went?
Yeah, I was in a photo essay class, and we had to go document it. It was insane.
Yeah.
There were so many people. I had the editor to the... with me. She was kind of crazy at the time. But, like, I don't know. It was a fun experience.
Yeah.
Got to be, like, super close to Drew Brees.
Drew Beers.
Drew Beers.
Drew Beard. Drew Beard. I was actually in New Orleans at the time they won. I was not at the Super Bowl. But someone screamed outside the building, "I'm going to burn this city down."
Nice. That's how you celebrate.
Yeah, that's how New Orleans does it.
I think I heard the same thing when Obama was elected.
I'm gonna burn this
same guy. It's the same guy.
That's just how he celebrates everything.
He doesn't even... He has no agenda. Just whenever there's anything worth celebrating. It's like his light bill's $10 less than it was last one. I'm gonna burn this city to the ground. I love arsonist man. So we heard how Natalie's day was.
Okay.
We heard how Henry's day was, partially.
Didn't discuss what I discussed in philosophy.
Oh, that's the more interesting thing.
I mean, we can hear about your day first.
No.
He just wants to talk about his day.
You should talk about your day.
He's been fishing.
Your day is more important than what I discussed.
He's been fishing for this since we started the podcast.
We can even discuss what I discussed later.
Are you guys ready?
No.
I laid in bed and then went to class.
Oh. I thought you had something big.
No. I'm also coming out of a minor depressive episode, so I cleaned a lot.
Okay. Why are you depressed, John?
I don't know. Clinical depression. It happens.
Oh.
It's like, woo!
I keep thinking you're setting something up.
Is it?
And you're not. I thought it was gonna be like, oh no, I'm on dry land depression.
Yeah, post-cruise depression.
Oh, I was on a cruise.
You wanted us to bring it up. Okay,
you wanted us to set it up for you.
I mean, I wasn't really thinking about it, but I was on a cruise.
You weren't fishing for that? That doesn't make sense.
But no, that works. It works.
You know where I was fishing? Nowhere.
You didn't go fishing?
But I was very near fish in Cozumel, Mexico.
Is that how they pronounce Cozumel?
Cozumel, Mexico.
How they pronounce?
No.
Cozumel. Anyway.
It's called caramel.
No, it's Carzamel.
Carzamel. It's a Smurfs villain.
Yeah, I have previous stories. Let me tell you about them.
All right, you pick one, and then maybe another one.
Okay, I'll pick one.
Okay.
I'm not sure I would ever go on a cruise ever again in my entire life.
Oh, why?
It was not a bad experience. It's just aimed at a certain kind of person I am not. So, the dining experience on this particular cruise is people bring you food, ostensibly for free, even though you've paid for your cruise tickets. It's very nice. And all the people who work on this cruise ship are not from the United States, don't speak great English. They're from so many different countries. And the last night on the cruise ship, we went and we got seated for a nice kind of formal dinner. And then as our dinner was wrapping up and we were served our souffles or whatever, we heard someone get over the PA system. And we looked down over the balcony, and all the waitstaff had gathered, dressed in mariachi outfits, despite most of them not coming from places that mariachi come from, and they proceeded to sing a super scripted, altered rendition of John Denver's Leaving on a Jet Plane, but about cruises, about how sad they were that we were leaving, about how much they enjoyed serving us. It was the most painfully awkward thing I've ever experienced. Because I saw and heard this whole thing going on, and I like saw the desperation and the weirdness and the rehearsed quality of it, and it pierced my brain. But everyone else was just eating, like, oh, what are they gonna do next? Like, everyone was just sitting like cows, like, this is for me, this is my entertainment. And then, the second that finished, every member of the waitstaff went up to an individual table and danced to Gangnam Style until we tipped them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like Carnival has really changed.
It's like hell.
My mom used to have someone that worked with her at the law library. Yeah, my mom worked at the law library. There's a factoid about myself.
There's a law library? Is that where they keep all the laws?
Yeah, it's, like, connected to the courthouse. It's, you know, if you need to scan a case or something, refer to it, you can go to the law library.
Okay.
Which is null and void now. We have the internet. But,
Oh, that's sad.
She used to have someone who worked with her who was a part-time masseuse. Or masseuse. What is the female version of masseuse? Is it masseuse?
It might be just masseuse.
I think it's masseuse.
But who went on to work on cruise ships.
Of course. As a masseuse?
As a masseuse.
Okay.
And she said that, like, her job was okay. Like, you had to, you know, as a masseuse, you have to touch a bunch of gross people all the time. And weird tourists and
cruise
stuff.
People.
Yeah. Cruise people are the worst.
Yeah.
Cruise people.
She said that her job was okay because it was, like, a specialized job. But to be a waitstaff person on a cruise was horrible. She said, like, all of them were really depressed, and all of them kind of, like, you know, because cruise ships usually have, like, awful tourists, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, like, the worst kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you can imagine, like, any customer service job you've had, like, times 10, the worst.
To bookend that, after we saw them dance Gangnam Style until we tipped them, and it was awful and awkward, like, we have to leave, we have to stand up and leave the dining room and go continue to drink by the pool. A door was ajar, which, the most amazing thing about cruises to me, is the facade that's put on for people on the cruise does not exist anywhere where only employees are allowed.
Oh, yeah.
It is sterile, gray, emergency lit. It's a ship. It's just a battleship. So,
without any guns.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, we saw this very ornate door that just said employees only, but it was ajar. And inside I saw this sterile gray room with these slow, creaky escalators in, with a man hunched in the corner smoking.
That sounds awesome.
It was great.
Yeah, no, but people who've worked on cruises talk about the room is basically a closet. You've
mm-hmm.
got two, like, mats, you know, to sleep on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of exaggerating, but I'm kind of not.
Yeah. And we went to a number of comedy shows.
Oh no, cruise comedy.
And they openly mock the waitstaff.
But that's mean.
That's so
it's
mean.
Very mean.
I would never do that. They openly control where you are.
They openly mock the waitstaff. The comedy was awful, conservative.
Harumph, harumph.
There was a joke that was told that was, ADD didn't exist in my day because my daddy had a belt. It's like, oh, this is the worst.
Is that like Uncle Phil's doing comedy?
Pretty much. No, it was just a bunch of like, it felt like I was at an old folks' home.
And now presenting the comedy stylings of your uncle!
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go pretty for that.
Yeah. Everything that was made for us was unbelievably lame. There was a song and dance portion where the man danced up to a covered section of the back of the stage, tore down a cloth, and it just said the word fun. And the word fun began to spin as they sang songs with the word fun in them.
I mean, that sounds delightful. Yeah. Are you just jaded?
Oh, I was being sarcastic. It was the time of my life.
All right.
They're paid a lot, though. Waitstaff.
They are.
And cruises.
God, I hope so.
Well, yeah, they have to dance.
They're paid ridiculously. So people, I mean, that's why they do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I'm glad that that's the case, because they deserve it.
It's true. They have to do a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. On the Carnival cruise I went to, there was no dressing up in weird mariachi costumes and singing a weird version of Leaving on a Jet Plane. However, there was, like, a hot Caribbean night where they sang Feeling Hot, Hot, Hot or whatever, and they danced to that.
Mm-hmm.
But they all seemed to enjoy it. Again, I was like, 8, maybe 10 at the time. So it could have just been my little kid brain going, oh, these guys really seem to like this. I hope they don't, like, ask me to dance, because I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Where did you go on your Carnival cruise?
I went, it was a stop in Mexico, a stop in the Cayman Islands, and one more stop that I can't remember.
Wait, that's
a
long cruise. Where did you leave from the cruise? You're like 2 years younger than me, right, Henry?
Something like that.
Because I went on a cruise when I was 12, right?
Did we go on the same cruise? We left out of New Orleans.
Yeah, we left out of New Orleans.
Oh my God.
Okay, hold up. Was it the Carnival cruise ship, the Celebration?
I don't know. I don't remember.
All right.
I don't remember. I remember going to Mexico. And, did you go to Jamaica? We went to Jamaica.
I don't remember the third stop. I honestly don't.
We went to Jamaica at some point.
So. This is like national treasure, you guys. This is incredible.
Wait, did you steal the Declaration of Independence?
So an interesting thing about Carnival cruises, the reason why yours did not have this,
okay,
in addition to it being like 30 years ago.
Wait.
I'm being non-specific for our audience. Anyway.
Yes, that's right. I'm like 40-something.
Apparently every...
That makes me
50. Every cruise is... Every event is designed by your cruise director. So every cruise is theoretically different. It's a different event.
Okay.
And ours was apparently the last sailing of this particular ship with this cruise director. So he put on a hell of a show.
As in, it was hell for everybody except for the people who were...
I have a story.
About hell and cruise ships?
I was sitting alone while my cruise partner was asleep in the cabin. And I was sitting with some pizza. I was eating it. And I heard a man yell, "Why don't you just chill out?" And I looked over and he was holding his child's arm, like wringing it, pointing at the child. And I was looking at him. And he released the child and he looked at me. And I swear to Christ, he said, "I'm not a very good father." And then he just started drinking a daiquiri. No, no.
What?
No, no. When the daiquiri touched his lips, the chicken dance started playing over the PA, and dancers came up to dance the chicken dance with people.
No.
It happened. This is real.
Did you, like, witness a Showtime original that turned into, like, an ABC Family original? Like...
So much of what happened on this cruise feels like satire.
You went on the Twin Peaks cruise, didn't you?
Pretty much. It was, yeah.
Cruises, man.
Cruises are crazy.
Cruises are crazy.
Cruises are crazy. You know, speaking of cruises being crazy, brings me... to my first segment.
Yeah.
This is a...
Okay. Oh, for Natalie, this okay. is... We have another segment.
We have another segment. And for Henry, this isn't the segment you think it is.
Oh, God. Okay, so this is a new segment, Natalie.
It's an entirely new segment. You're here for this for the first time.
What is this?
Stretch it out.
Okay, so shake the sillies out. I think that sometimes on this podcast, we have a tendency to get a little dark.
What do you mean?
We plumb the depths and we need to walk it back and handle some less heady material. And I thought about this on the cruise. And what I think we should do now is a State of the Union address for the human race.
Is that the name of the segment?
Yes.
State of the Union address.
For the entire human race.
For the entire human race.
State of the Human address.
State of the Human address!
See, this is why we asked you to be on the show.
Perfect. So what I want us to do...
But you want this to be light.
Yeah, no, this is by definition light. There's nothing lighter than passing judgment on the entire human race.
How is that light?
So Isn't that what, like, 80% of comedy is?
Yeah. She's got it.
It's like, I went to this place and I saw this guy pass his judgment.
These people walk like this.
Yeah.
So what we've got to do is I want us all to come up with one thing that the human race is doing right.
Okay.
One thing that the human race is doing wrong. And then a short closing statement. Breezy, keep it light.
Keep it light and breezy. So
but it's important that everything you say has overarching implications to the rest of humankind moving forward as a species.
So we gotta keep it light and breezy,
yeah.
But it also impactful and lasting forever.
Yeah.
John, I don't know if you know what the word, like, oxymoron means, but...
I do not.
Good.
I used to put those on my face when I had acne.
Oxycontin?
Yeah. Couldn't feel a thing.
Alright, so I will be the sacrificial lamb,
okay.
And make John go first.
Yeah.
Alright, I can go first. So I'll start in a non-constructive way and say the bad thing and then the good thing.
Oh no, but...
But you said to do the good thing first.
Praise before blame,
all
John.
Alright, okay.
That's what John Barth said.
I'll praise the human race first. So we talked... A number of weeks ago, or perhaps 1 or 2 weeks ago.
You remember something we talked about on this podcast?
About Baseball Bat Kid.
Oh, Baseball Bat Kid.
Baseball Bat Kid.
Recap for Natalie.
And for the viewers.
Yes.
Yeah, Baseball Bat Kid.
Okay, so the Baseball Bat Kid, it was this image that went viral about a week or two ago about this kid who's looking down on his phone and a baseball bat. He's sitting at... A baseball game.
Okay.
And a baseball bat is flying towards his face. And the gentleman next to him is, like, stopping it with his muscly, veiny arm.
Mm-hmm. And the picture clearly shows that how close the bat came to hitting this kid in the face. His stunned look. And people's takeaway from it, at least in joking, was... serves the kid right for being on his phone at a baseball game.
Yeah, I figured that.
Fuck kids for being on phones. And I hate that. The good thing about this, A, muscly arm dude is his father. They're at the baseball game together.
Okay.
And the really good thing, as the story came out, apparently he was in the process of sending a picture of the baseball game to his mother and his sister because it was the first baseball game he had ever been to and he was so excited.
Well, that seems like it redeems everything the people said about that story.
Yeah. It shits all over them.
So what's your good thing?
That was the good thing.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be like a chiding message or something.
Oh, no, the good thing is that we can judge based on superficial things, but reality defies simplicity.
Okay.
And most people, they're doing good things at heart, and we shouldn't judge them based on just a picture we see on the internet.
All right. Well, I guess I've got a good thing, unless Natalie wants to.
No, you go ahead.
All right, I've got a good thing. This happened this week. You know what happens when, like, you get a wrong text, like a wrong number text? Usually you're like, oh, dude, sorry, wrong number or whatever. And sometimes you're like, oh, you're lying. I know it's you, Shernice, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
you love Shernice.
Shernice is a good name. All right. So in this case, what happened was these two guys got a wrong number, and it was about a baby who has just been born. And they're like, oh, congratulations on the baby, but wrong number. And it was apparently like a group text. So their number was lumped in with a bunch of other numbers.
Oh.
And so it took a while for the person who sent the text to realize. And they said, oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for the well wishes. You know, sorry to bother you. They send back, where are you? We've got a gift for the baby. And so they're like, what? Okay, here's where we are. And so these two young African-American men show up to give a gift to this baby.
That's really amazing.
And it was all like this wrong number
thing. That's really cool.
It's like the best scenario that can happen out of a wrong number.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah.
What's it mean for the human race?
It means that even when people make mistakes, you can turn their mistakes into little moments of happiness.
Perfect. Bob Ross it up.
Yeah, that's not a happy little smudge. Well, it's probably... Make that smudge into a happy little bush.
Perfect. Natalie?
So wait, okay. So go over the format again.
You're just saying... You're saying something good that you've witnessed in humanity, okay. And what that means for humanity.
Okay. I thought we were supposed to say a bad thing. Is that next?
That'll be next.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Okay. So... As you guys probably know, this weekend, well, technically Thursday, Batman vs. Superman comes out.
Is that true?
Yep.
Okay.
It comes out. And I know for most of humanity that's a bad thing, but I'm a comic book nerd, and I really like Image and I like DC comics. I'm not, and not to say that I hate Marvel. I don't hate Marvel. I'm not as familiar with Marvel outside of like the movie universe. You know, I've only seen the movies. I've never read any of the Marvel books. But I'm excited that DC might put out a possibly good DC film. And I think a lot of the times it's like DC's kind of shit on because they are the, you know, the sort of the underdog of the movie comic world. So I also like that when it came out, people didn't like just straight up hate it. They went and saw it and they took into account what like everything in it, and they talked about the pros more than the cons. So I think if humanity focuses, I think one of the hindrances of art is that we live in a culture where people love to hate. And anytime a new film or a new book or some new television show comes out, we want to immediately hate it because it is outside the norm or it's something contrived or we have these preconceived notions of what it is. But I like that humanity is starting to think more positively about art. And instead of just hating something, they are open to it.
And nice.
That's a very good pro. That's a very good pro.
Yeah.
Now I have to think of something bad that humanity's done.
Yeah, we have to... is it like a chiding message? Like, shame on you for doing this?
I mean, it's just something that you think humanity could improve on.
Okay, so...
So...
Shame on you, but here's how you can do it better.
I was in Mexico.
You were in Mexico.
And... So I went to a pharmacy in Mexico.
A farmacéutica.
Yep. Perfect. Maybe. Un poco. Anyway, I went to a pharmacy in Mexico, and they have a lot of drugs, and a certain very expensive drug to control acne was on sale there for $8, as opposed to the $200 for the exact same amount it costs in America.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
And it's... entirely because of pharmaceutical companies upcharging on just because they can. Just because we have insurance. Well, we don't have insurance anymore. Came out of a structure where they're like, we can charge whatever we want because people have, you know, employer-based health insurance. But now we have drugs that are super expensive and no one can afford them. And I think that we should continue to encourage generic drugs and be less greedy. We should appreciate the profits we can make on selling things for these small amounts and not charge $10,000 for some kind of life-saving pill. Be less greedy, humanity. Help people out.
I think you just summed up Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
Just now.
Okay. Yeah. Never seen it. Want to see it. Love that Jared Leto. Jared...
It's about AIDS.
Oh, what's your thing?
Okay, so it's a bad thing that I want people to approve upon. I have to think of a bad thing.
You know, I know humanity doesn't do a lot of bad things.
You know, they really... Oh, okay, so maybe... This one's a little obvious, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up today to news headlines and stuff about a terrorist attack that happened at a Brussels airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a person who flies every so often, I just think, alright, you want to get your terrorism message out there. Airports, I guess, are, quote, easy targets because lots of people go there and you can cause a lot of damage. But really, if you want to get your terrorism message out there, just write it down, put it on Facebook. Just, you know, don't attack airports.
Or don't attack people.
Specifically airports. Like, I know, yes, don't attack people is the main thing, but, like, you know, small steps to improvement. Let's start with not attacking air travel, airplanes, airports, anything that... It's already scary enough we're in a metal tube hurtling through the sky with impossible physics. This thing shouldn't fly. It flies because we know it shouldn't fly. That's how it works. And so, just don't attack it or the place where it lands. Attack a boat.
Hey, I was on a cruise.
And, you know...
I would not be okay with that.
You're not, you know, on a cruise now.
I also wouldn't be okay with it if it happened now.
But boats move slow, so it's like you got time to fight back. You're seen movies.
You've seen Captain Phillips.
With Tom Hanks?
Natalie.
Oh, yeah, with the... I'm the captain now.
I wasn't passing the Captain Phillips to you.
Oh, I thought we were doing our Captain Phillips impression. I thought that was that part of the podcast.
I am the captain now.
Stop, quick round. I am the captain now.
I am the captain now.
I am the captain now.
All right, now a bad thing about humanity.
Okay. Does that have to be based on a personal experience, or just name a...
Anything you've read, anything from history...
Well, tonight we talked a lot about evil,
yeah.
I mean...
Talk about evil!
There's a lot of evil.
You know what? It doesn't have to be personal. You could talk about the concept of evil if you wanted to.
Okay, I have something. I don't know, like, if you guys are pretty PC on this podcast, but... because we talked a lot about, like, deconstructing the idea of organized religion and, like, evil and why the existence of evil may mean that God is not all-powerful or does not exist. But I was thinking, actually, about... Because I was raised Catholic when I was a kid. I went to, like, 12 years of private Catholic school, survived, became a decent human being, I think. I would think so. I'm friends with you guys, right? So, decent human being.
Wait, you're judging whether or not you're a decent human being based on us?
You should listen to previous episodes.
Yeah, sorry,
but,
world.
I was thinking about how, you know, religion is usually associated with this moral sort of understanding. Like, if you're a religious person, that usually denotes that you are... a kind, good person with great values. But what I find most of the time is that religious people tend to not be as open as non-religious people. And I don't know if, I mean, I'm not religious myself. You know, I grew up Catholic, but I'm not Catholic anymore. And just due to reasons in my life and my struggles with faith, I guess. And I think, like, there are times when I meet other people who are still Catholic or who are still religious, and they are not really open to the fact that I'm not religious. They're usually like, oh, you don't pray? That's weird. Or, oh, you don't pray? Well... And you can tell that there's this look where they're like, you're not as great of a person as I thought you were originally, because you don't do organized stuff. And or like don't participate in any religious activities. And I don't think we should
I don't think religious people should be so pious. And I don't think that... I think if you have a religion that has a basis, which Christianity is based on the teachings of Christ, which is to love everybody as you would want to be loved. And I think if you have a core religion, a core idea to a religion that is love, you should spread love. And you should not oppress people with your own beliefs. You should be open to whatever is out there. Because, I mean, you can't conceivably believe that you are the only, like, your beliefs, like, because it is belief, it is not fact. And you cannot believe that what you believe is the only thing you should believe. So I think when you meet another person who isn't religious, you should be just open. Because that doesn't necessarily mean they're evil. And that doesn't necessarily mean the absence of their religion doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that they might still be searching. So that's all I think. Is I think that I hate when humanity associates being non-religious with almost a heathen lifestyle, which is very minimally the case sometimes, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we're all heathens on this podcast.
Pretty much.
And as David Mitchell once said, religion is the world's most inclusive club with the world's craftiest doorman.
Which David Mitchell was this?
The one who wrote Cloud Atlas.
Okay, so not the British comedian, nor my first boss.
Neither of those two people. And I think we should probably take a short break.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da break. Hi, it's Henry from Zero Credits, and I'm here with John.
Hey.
From Zero Credits.
Hey.
And today, we've got a sponsor.
We do indeed.
Hey, John, where'd you put the copy?
Let me just...
All right, he's unfolding the copy, and,
Okay, got it.
All right, CVS is wants you to know that they've got a little special going on. You buy 1 gallon of milk, get another gallon of milk for $3 off.
Really?
Yeah, a whole gallon of milk, $3 off if you purchase another gallon of milk at full price.
That's almost free.
Yes, how much does milk go for?
I don't buy a lot of milk. Anyway, go to CVS.
Give them the code name, Zero Credits.
When they ask you for your card, type in Zero Credits.
That's your PIN number.
To the tune of Funky Town.
Yeah.
On the PIN pad.
And then insist that we said that you get $3 off on your second gallon of milk.
If they tell you no, you say, Henry and John told me.
That's it. Just Henry and John told me. And then walk out the store.
If they don't give it to you, walk out. Go to another CVS.
Walk out with the 2 gallons of milk you have.
Yeah.
Go to another CVS and try to purchase the gallons of milk. Because you don't want to steal. I'm not telling you to steal.
Just buy a lot of milk to get your cheap milk.
It's at participating locations, but like you don't want to waste time. You already got your gallons of milk in your hand. You might as well just leave the store and go to a different CVS that might be participating and ask if you can buy them with a reduced price.
I mean, if you've got the 2 gallons of milk, you might as well just go home because you completed your job.
No, that would be theft.
No, I mean, like, once you buy these 2 gallons of milk and then you leave...
Oh, well, yeah. If you
might as well just leave.
Well, if you can buy them, do that. But if you can't buy them, I'm just saying, take the gallons of milk you already have, go to a different CVS that might be participating in this little sale thing they're having, and then try to buy it legally.
Oh, because, yeah, you can't steal.
No, you can't steal, John. You can't steal milk.
You just have to transport the milk to another CVS. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you could go put the milk back where you found it in the CVS you're in, but that's going to waste time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's another CVS just around the corner.
There's always a CVS right around the corner. That's a slogan. It says at the bottom of the copy.
Okay.
Offer code Zero Credits at your local CVS, and if not that one, your other local CVS. And I believe CVS stands for...
Customers Very Smart.
Just like you.
Get your gallons of milk. So hey Natalie, how you doing?
I'm alright.
Oh, that's great. It's time for our segment, What Have We Watched? What is it called?
What did you watch?
What did you watch?
That's probably what it's called.
This is a segment where we talk about something within the past week or so that we've watched with our eyes. And this refers to anything you've experienced with you, so it could be a book. You watch a book.
Okay.
It could be a movie, TV show. It just can't be anything you solely listened to or smelled or felt.
Or tasted.
Or, oh yeah. There's five sentences.
So I can't smell it?
Oh, no, no, no.
What?
You're reading into it too much.
Okay.
It's just books, movies, TV, plays, things you watch.
Media. Got it.
Yeah.
We only do this so you can't plug a rival podcast.
Or
I don't want to show you how the sausage is made, but you listen to podcasts.
You say that every time, and I just disagree with you every time. Because we're watching the podcast right now.
Yeah, but they can't.
Oh, they can't. Okay, that's true. All right. So, Natalie, think back. Past week or so, maybe 2 weeks, we took a hiatus.
Or, you know what? You've never been on. Maybe your whole life.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, something that you've watched that you want to talk about.
Well, while I'm thinking about it, how about you guys tell me something you've watched?
That's a good plan.
That's a great plan.
That way we're not putting anybody on the spot. So, John.
Yes. Yes.
What did you watch?
So, I watched a little movie called The Intern.
Oh, wait, is that that's the new
Robert
one?
Robert De Niro, yeah.
Robert De Niro, Anne Hathaway, Adam Devine.
Wait, the guy from Maroon 5?
No, that's
Adam Levine.
Yeah, this guy is from Workaholics.
The guy from Workaholics and Modern Family.
Anders Holmes, another guy from Workaholics. Anyway.
Is he the one with the hair?
No.
He's that's a skinny what I thought
one. He's a skinny one. So I watched this movie called The Intern. And quick elevator pitch for the movie. It's Anne Hathaway plays this beleaguered CEO of some internet fashion company.
She's the CEO?
Yes.
Oh.
And she has a shitty husband, and she hires this intern. I did not pay attention for the first 10 minutes of the movie, so I'm assuming the intern refers to Robert De Niro.
You don't know for a fact, though.
He is an older man who is very distinguished,
is a leap of faith, though. You don't...
I watched most of it. Anyway,
so... You're on a cruise.
Robert De Niro is probably... I was drinking a lot.
You're on a cruise.
I was drinking a lot.
So Robert De Niro is probably the intern.
Robert De Niro...
Although you're not sure.
There are two principal characters, and one of them is a CEO. So I'm willing to eliminate...
Is Robert De Niro the CEO?
No.
Okay, then he's the intern.
So see? Process of elimination.
Yeah. Okay.
Although you don't know for certain.
For deductive reasoning. This is not important. Anyway.
Okay.
Robert De Niro is a successful 60-something-year-old man who's very distinguished, has had a business, and he's this intern for this company basically just to have something to do. And they have this kind of romantic appreciation of each other that spans generations throughout the movie. They struggle with it because they both clearly are attracted to each other on an emotional level.
Are we talking about Anne Hathaway
and Robert De Niro?
I mean, understandable. Robert De Niro.
I mean, they're both very attractive people, but they're both emotionally attracted to each other because they're both broken. Robert De Niro is a widower. Anne Hathaway has very serious marital problems and a drinking problem that goes unmentioned in the movie. But she drinks a lot in that movie.
That's just...
Like, she drinks a glass of vodka and no one talks about it.
Wait, John. John, it's 2016.
I'm sorry.
Women can drink alcohol.
I'm sorry.
It's they can not... drink a glass
you
of
don't,
vodka.
You don't bring it up.
Okay. God, okay. I forgot that's
get
2016.
Out of your 2015 mindset.
Look, it's 2016. Forget what I said. Anyway.
All right.
So,
but you've got all these workaholics. What are they doing in the movie?
Being silly. Being silly bad actors.
Little scamps? They're just scamping about?
No, one of them gives a legitimate try to dramatic acting, and it is awful.
Is it Skinny Face?
Yes.
Oh, I always thought Skinny Face.
The movie is not good. It is not good, but...
Redeeming factor?
Not really.
Oh.
Robert De Niro is great in it, but it makes me think of something that I kind of wanted to talk about, because we always have these, like,
jumping off
weird
points.
Little tangential sides. So, Anne Hathaway's character is a very driven young woman, and she is emotionally attracted to this distinguished older man because And she keeps bringing things up like, oh, you own your own bathrobe, you walk around with a suitcase, you dress yourself well, you tuck your shirts in. Like, he does these little tiny things that require effort and forethought that she's not used to, because she has this very, like, typical millennial husband who has a degree of success and, like, a little stubble beard and just hangs around the house all day. And this thesis statement really gets pushed forward when she's talking to this group of nerds, one of which is a workaholics dude. I don't know. It's supposed to be funny. It's okay. Anyway, she's talking to them, and she's clearly drunk. Like I said, drinking problem. And she says that, you know, why aren't people like Robert De Niro's character? Why aren't people like that anymore? Why, you know, she describes this distinguished gentleman who knows what he's doing, life is driven, has interests and priorities. And then she says, but men today are just... And then she looks... It's actually a pretty funny moment of visual comedy, because they're just these, like, dumpy dudes with stubble beards and kind of unkempt hair and untucked plaid shirts, and they're all wearing jeans. They kind of have the same expression. And she goes into this thing being like, men today just... They're just kids. They just play video games, and they bump around in things in life, and they don't make meaningful decisions. They just want people to take care of them. And I think she kind of has a point. Honestly, I think it's kind of a salient point the movie makes. And I think that it makes it in a pretty extreme way, because I don't think all men are that way, but there's definitely an air of being like slacker assholes going on in young men today.
I mean, I'm not a millennial man, but I think it has to do maybe with how millennials were raised. I mean, I hate to say that, I hate to use that excuse, but I think, like, guys weren't exactly, like, back then in Robert De Niro's time, it was like you were told to dress, you know, to be a gentleman, you have to dress a certain way, or you have to do this, or, like, he saw his father doing something, and we look, I guess, as a boy, you would look at, like, your father or, like, the male in your life, and you would emulate sort of a way, I guess, they do. Mm-hmm. And, like, since we were brought up in a weird time when men weren't exactly, you know, classy, I guess it's understandable that a lot of men are not gentlemen, I guess, anymore.
I think it's...
I
think the definition, or, like, the treatment of male has definitely shifted in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And so this self-sufficient sort of shirt-tucked-in guy comes from a, you know, a completely different sort of set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you look as early as kindergarten...
Mm-hmm.
Guys are treated completely differently now than they were before.
Exactly, yeah.
Most of the stories I hear coming out of kindergartens from my mom and other sources is that they're trying to get guys to sit still and just pay attention and be like the girls, you know?
Okay.
But at that young of an age, guys and girls are just, they're completely different creatures.
Oh, yeah. Has to do with the fact that women, I mean, I'm glad that you brought up girls, because I think women are very different than in Robert De Niro's time. I mean, we live in it's 2016, as you said. Women are very self-sustaining. We have this sense of, like, feminism and independence, which is good. I mean, I'm glad that we do, and I'm glad that we're seen as equals. But it also, like, men up to this point have been, like, the chivalrous, I have to take care of a woman, I have to be a gentleman to a woman. But now, like, you have a lot of women who are like, we don't want a man being nice to us because that's demeaning.
Yeah.
And that's sort of sad, you know, because it's like, I like when people are nice to me. I don't think of it as I'm weak and that's why they're being nice to me. And maybe in some circumstances, like when I go to car dealerships or whatever, men are like, oh, you're a woman who knows nothing about cars, let me, you know, cater to you. And that's fine, but, like, in most circumstances, I feel like men are just being nice, being the nice dude, and that's kind of sad that that's sort of phasing out.
Yeah. I think a point, the movie does, it is a comedy, so it's not going to make its points in an extremely salient way.
It's a comedy?
Kind of.
Oh.
Barely.
It doesn't sound like a comedy at all.
It's a comedy.
Is it supposed to be like, oh, it's funny because an old guy is an intern?
It's a romantic comedy, I would say.
Do they get together? Spoilers.
No.
You spoiled that.
Shit.
So anyway, you were saying the movie doesn't go salient.
Oh, it doesn't make its points in the most salient way because it is putting this kind of chivalry on a pedestal, this ideal that men should be this way, and I don't think that's entirely fair because it's essentially the same as making a movie where it's like, remember when women were submissive and not as driven as they are today? But they're not actually considering the societal implications of what that statement means.
Yeah.
And I do think that men are different today just because they are raised differently, but I think a lot of it, and what this movie was trying to address through the no doubt frustrated writers who made this movie, it's just like a lack of drive. Men are kind of shitty and have no drive regardless of whether or not they tuck their shirts in.
Yeah.
Dudes can be kind of childish as a result of something in their nurture, nature, noise, matrix.
It, as far as growing up, it was like guys were always a little more immature than if you compare them to girls, mm-hmm. just because, I don't know, because people kept saying that guys are a little more immature. Like,
yeah.
It's perpetuated. So
yeah,
I guess...
it perpetuates, and like, I think society asks more of women earlier than it does of guys.
Probably.
You know, and in general, ask more of women, like, throughout history.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
On top of everything else, they gotta give life.
Yeah.
It's like, because of this patriarchal sort of view, men don't have to do a lot in order to be revered. It's like, some men just simply have to exist, and they're seen as, like, an authority, sort of the higher person in the room. But women have to sort of overcompensate, I guess.
Yeah.
And women, over the years. I'm not saying, like, now I feel like it's much less now.
I was about to ask, where do I sign up to be one of those men who just have to exist?
I mean, back then, it's like men could just, like, they could just show up, and they would be treated very well, and what women had to like prove almost that they could do something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like it's almost reversed now. Like I feel like women, like we live in a society where women are almost like. I mean, I don't think it's completely like. Of course, there are very many statistics where women are still not on equal pay grade as men, and all kinds of different things. But I feel like our media, especially, is more centered towards the strong woman. Like, look at Star Wars, look at Mad Max, look at, like, any of the Oscar movies that came out this year. Like, most of those movies have a strong female role in it, and sort of centers around that, so. Mm.
It's definitely, like, we're trying to tip the scales. Mm-hmm. I say we. They're trying to tip the scales, and they might get it wrong at first, because you have to overcompensate for the past 50, 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you're comparing, like, 1 year of really good movies to 7 years of, like, this was just a standard.
I mean, but we do get into the trap of not being able to see what's normal and what's a reaction, because a reactionary tipping of the scales can be dangerous, it can be pandering, it can send the wrong message. Like, I feel something like Star Wars did it really well, because it made these choices naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into things where they're like, we injected strong female characters, quote unquote, into our things as a reaction to the fact that people like strong female characters, you can make a lot of really awful mistakes with the message you're sending to young women and things like that.
Yeah, don't let capitalism take over the message, because then it just becomes a shield product.
Once again, we have returned to the socialist roots of zero credits. Sorry. What did you watch, Henry?
Alright, I...
Sorry about that, that was a...
No, that
went deep.
That's kind of what we do. This is going to remain pretty much light. I watched... It's a series that came out on Netflix recently called Flaked.
Alright.
Oh, I've been seeing that advertised. How is it?
Say that again.
Flaked.
But that's with Will Arnett?
With Will Arnett.
Flaked.
Flake?
Flaked.
Duh.
Flaked.
I can't say flaked.
It's flake.
Like a D.
But in the past.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like corn flaked.
And,
yeah.
The thing I really want to talk about is it's billed as a comedy, and it's not.
A classic Skeleton Twins.
Kinda.
Yeah, oh god, Skeleton Twins.
Oh, I watched Skeleton.
It's so devastating.
But the real feel of this, it's like if they took an indie movie and kind of like, not stretched it out, but like compartmentalized it into 8 episodes.
Okay.
Okay.
And Will Arnett does a really great job as a dramatic actor.
Oh.
And of course, like, he's got hints of his, like, the smug kind of, the way Will Arnett is. Yeah. That kind of leaks in, but it's not given the emphasis that it would have gotten if it was just a straight comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about kind of like a small town Jesus, like a guy who's like, okay, I want to be there for everybody, I want to help everybody,
right,
in the small community of Venice Beach in California. And AA plays a lot into it. He's a drunk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
His friends are like drunks who are like struggling to get better. And so he's just kind of like, he wants to go around and like help people, but there's like a fundamental thing that's wrong with him, and that he's like, this cannot stop lying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's a compulsive liar.
He's like a compulsive liar.
Quick aside, no one has to react to this. I'm so happy Will Arnett is actually getting decent work now after the like cavalcade of really strange, mismatched roles he was in after Arrested Development, because I love him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hated to see him in a million awful things after that show came out. Anyway, I'm glad that he's getting grounded.
You know who else loved him? Was Mitchell Hurwitz. The guy who made... just Mitch Hurwitz, I forget.
I think it's Mitch.
The guy who made Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these projects that Will was attached to were Mitch's attempt to try to make something post Arrested.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposedly a really great voice actor. Like, he does a bunch of things with voice acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's gonna be Lego Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is.
Lego Batman. Well, he was in the Lego movie, but now they're gonna make a standalone Lego Batman movie.
Oh.
And he's Batman.
What?
Yeah.
That's kinda cool.
What the fuck is up with Lego, you guys? Here's my Lego experience.
Alright, Lego experience from John.
I played a Lego Star Wars video game. It's pretty cool. And then, like, I fell asleep, and everything is Lego.
Yeah?
Everything is Lego.
I didn't grow up playing with Legos. I grew up playing with Playmobil.
Oh, fuck you. Would you grow up France?
Somebody had money. No.
You're like, I played with Erector sets. Ooh. No.
Their heads didn't come off. Mm.
We would go to Tuesday morning. You know what Tuesday morning is? It's like
it's a little bougie boutique shop.
It's like a thrift store, but it's like a boutique. If a thrift store and a boutique had like a
store
baby.
Boutique.
I like to call it a thrutique.
It's not super expensive, but it's also not super cheap.
The bougie side of thrift stores.
Yeah, right. Tuesday morning. And you see a bunch of old ladies. And we used to go in there when I was a kid, and they used to have Playmobil sets, and my mom would get one, and we would bring it home, and would just play with it, you know?
There's nothing wrong with Playmobil.
I had a pirate ship.
That's awesome.
I do want you guys to know, and I'm sharing this with you confidentially.
Just between us and our thousands of viewers.
I liked Lego, but I was a Kinex kid.
Oh.
I was all about Kinex.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what I did with Kinex? Do you want to know what I did with Kinex?
Yes.
I made little shitty 2D robots and I had them fight each other.
Yeah, Kinex ruled.
Yeah, but I never built structures.
I made a Ferris wheel, like in the commercial, but it wobbled. It was really shitty. Anyway.
I was a Lego kid. And, I just had tons of Lego
That's
sets.
Cool.
Yeah, Lego's really
cool. I was envied Lego kids.
The thing about Lego now is that it's not recognizable anymore. Because you walk down the Lego aisle and it's just brand, you know, Marvel, DC, Ninja Turtles. They got Pirates of the Caribbean, all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really see the standalone, like, Lego set anymore. Like,
yeah, it's
the original thing.
It's just a vehicle to make branded toys now.
They even have tons of Lego cartoons, like Ninjas and, like, Rescue Team.
And Bionicle.
Bionicle.
Bionicle was pretty cool.
I'm a product of only knowing the, I guess, commercialized version of Lego. I don't really know the original Lego.
I mean, the originals were just kind of like different fantasy things. Like, they had a medieval, and then they had, like, science, which was, like, crazy mad science stuff, and castles. And then I think it all went to shit with Hogwarts.
much like everything else. I'll tell you what I enjoy is Lego Masterminds and Lego Technics, because I was a super...
The robot kind of building.
Yeah, I was very, like, technical, detail-oriented teenager, because, you know, I didn't have any friends. So, those were right up my alley.
Yeah, they still use the mastermind and techniques for robotic competitions in high schools.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, my cousin does those. I have a cousin who does robotics.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, we should all build robots, bring back BattleBots on zero credits.
BattleBots exist?
What?
It was brought back. It was during the summer.
It probably wasn't good.
During ABC. So that was Flaked on Netflix. Okay. And I think we should just move on, because...
It's Flaked,
The Intern. Those are the things so far that we've watched.
And now, Natalie's gonna bring us home.
I'm gonna switch gears. Because we did movies, TV show...
Mm-hmm.
Today, I read a bunch of comics.
Nice.
Okay.
I mean...
Experience them with your eyes, I hope.
I did.
Did you smell these comics?
I read one that brought me to tears, actually.
Did you smell your tears?
Wait, do tears count as experiencing with your eyes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're crying, I guess.
I've never cried.
She's maybe had the most eye-based experience out of all of us.
You're right, because tears are where your eyes come from. Eyes are where your tears come from.
Tears are where your eyes come from.
You must tear two eyes anyway.
They just drip little eyeballs.
Oh my god,
no.
That's some Guillermo del Toro
they
shit.
They like shatter on the surface.
I hope he's listening and I don't know.
Oh, he's one of our 12 listeners.
Oh, I figured.
So what, comics?
Okay, so there's this author that I really like, named Rick Remender, and he writes titles such as Black Science, Deadly Class, Tokyo Ghost.
I'm familiar with this one, the others.
And the one that I was reading was Low, which is, it's a fantasy-based comic about these people who live in the ocean. It's like a big civilization in the ocean, because the surface is radiated by the sun. Our pollution has killed the sun because we didn't pay attention to it. And it's probably one of the most devastating comics, because it starts off and like the first issue is just this little family, and you grow to love them, and there's like these two daughters, the son, this husband and the wife, and they just talk about all their little inventions. And then all of a sudden, sea pirates, which I know that like pirates who live under the sea, I guess, undersea pirates.
In the German, it's Untersea Pirates.
Well, Untersea Pirates
yes.
come out of nowhere, rip out the father's eyes.
What the fuck?
Take the two daughters and the mom, and then the son is, like, left in the devastation. And, like, that's just the beginning.
That's how it starts?
That's how it starts.
Whoa.
That's issue one. That's not even spoiling anything. That's just what you're going to open up with.
That's just the setup.
That's
okay.
The premise.
But let me just tell you that it gets worse.
As you read it,
there's actually, like, an issue late, before the one I read today, where it's like, you think there's, like, this character that you've just been reunited with, and you love them, and they're great, and you have this great connection, and then one of them dies devastatingly out of nowhere.
Oh.
Like, that's actually Remender's sort of thing, is that if you read any of his comics, which Deadly Class is sort of a battle royale situation, it's an assassin school, assassin high school, but
yes,
set in the 80s. So it has, like, a lot of, like, little 80s callbacks, I guess. I don't know. And then there's Black Science, which is about this guy who has created a way to travel to different dimensions.
Okay.
And but his thing that travels breaks, so they end up in a random dimension at any point. And people die horribly in
of
that
course.
One.
Naturally.
And then I haven't read Tokyo Ghost, but what I've seen of Tokyo Ghost... I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same. It's like you're going to get attached to someone, and then they're going to die horribly. But in Low, it's like, it's really good, because in all of his comics, which separate him, I guess, from everybody else for me, is that he talks a lot about real things. And in Low, he talks about depression a lot.
Okay.
He because this one, like, all the members of the family, obviously, through this chaotic situation, have, like, you know, it has consequences.
Yeah.
So you see them later, and they've survived. Most of them have survived. Oh, and the ones who have to deal with the loss of the others and the misplacement of their situation. Because it's like 10 years later. So they've grown up in this horrible situation. And they, like, it's really devastating and really good, though. Because he sort of hits the nail on the head with...
So it's not just low as in underwater, but also low as in...
Yeah, low point.
It means multiple things, I suppose.
I suppose you could say that.
Well, that was Low by... Rick Remender is an amazing name for a supervillain who alters people's memories.
You won't remember!
Rick Remender! He's a real clock king kind of guy. A real Edward Nigma.
He's really good. I'd read anything that he put out because it's just everything I've read so far.
I mean, everything except Tokyo Ghost, which you haven't read.
It's funny because I own Tokyo Ghost, but I haven't read it yet. I'm going in alphabetical order right now with catching up with comics, and right now I'm at L's.
Okay.
So I'll get to T's eventually.
That checks out.
Yeah?
So I did the math.
That sounds like three things we watched.
Those were three things we watched.
And now, unfortunately...
I think we might be out of time.
Yep. Now we have to bring an end to the thing that you haven't been watching, but you've been listening to diligently.
It's called Zero Credits. That's the name of the show.
and
it's over now.
That's been Henry.
That's been John.
And do you have anything to plug, Natalie? Anything you have coming down the pipeline?
I mean, we're all part of Podcast Party and
promotion.
I don't know.
I guess you know.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Plug it. Go for it.
We've never mentioned it. Go.
Oh, you've never mentioned podcast. You never mentioned Podcast Party on your own podcast. Michael is going to be so sad.
He listens to it.
But Michael, if you're listening, how have you let this happen? Have you not brought this up? Anyway, Podcast Party is an improv podcast that Henry, John, me, and our friend Michael, and our friend Logan is a part of. Where we sort of act out, we listen to different podcasts, quote unquote. We sort of make them up as we go, I guess.
Oh.
maybe not. And
look, we're outside of their universe.
And
we can tell them the truth.
It's the same studio, though. I feel like the ghost of our former lives are like coming back.
This is like a tell-all. It's okay. You're in a safe place.
And we can be found on iTunes or are we doing Mixcloud anymore?
I think we're on SoundCloud now.
SoundCloud. Okay, so SoundCloud and iTunes, Hardy Action Theater Podcast Party. John and Henry do it, too.
Yeah, fantastic. We just...
They do. They do it. You should listen to it and listen to what they were really like.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. So, speaking of being on iTunes...
We're also on iTunes.
A place where you can rate and comment and subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah. You could also use Beyond Podcast or...
Or Stitcher.
Podcast Addict.
You could... The podcast app on any Apple device, including your brand new Apple Watch. You can also follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
At ZCPCWHJ.
That's ZCPCWHJ.
Follow us on Twitter for all our hot new observations.
We update sometimes.
We update pretty frequently, and then we don't for a little while. It'll get straightened out. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns...
Address them to John.
Address them to both of us.
Just John.
At zerocreditsisapodcast@gmail.com.
And in the subject line, put for John.
In the subject line, you can really put anything you want to.
As long as it contains John only.
As long as it's an email, I will probably read it.
Alright. Well, say goodnight.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here.
You were nothing but a pleasure.
Wait, you were nothing, so you were only a pleasure.
Yeah, you were a pleasure to be on this podcast.
Why can't you just say you were a pleasure?
Why'd you put a negative in it?
Because Look.
He went on a cruise.
I went on a cruise. I was in a car accident.
See you next cruise.
Ahoy hoy.
Bye.